You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to Pod TST, a Rams podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur. Yes, that is the title of the podcast. I had to come up with a name of some sort, and this was going to be a podcast for Turf Show Times and Pod TST. If you look at it on paper, kind of looks like Pod Tist, which kind of sounds like podcast. So that's the origin of the name Pod TST, in case anyone was wondering. And also, in case I change it here before the season starts, because it's because people say it's a poor name or a poor title, which could happen. But this is Pod TST. We've been doing this for about a year and a half, and we're going to be ramping it up here for the 2021 season. So please do subscribe and continue to remember the name Pod TST. And then if I change it, I've screwed everything up, right? So today I want to talk about, briefly, I want to talk about some fringe bubble roster players on the Rams, guys who are fighting to make the team and probably will see a lot of action this Saturday against the LA Chargers, 7 p.m. NFL Network at SoFi Stadium, the two teams that play there, Rams versus Chargers. And we're not going to see Matthew Stafford. We're not going to see Daryl Henderson. We're not going to probably, you know, see Cooper Kupp or Andrew Whitworth or Aaron Donald. There's Sean McVay is always hesitant and conservative and careful with not wanting to have important players hurt at unimportant times. And certainly preseason games, for the most part, are unimportant times. And that is not to disparage all the players and the coaches who have worked and will work on Saturday to do their best and give 100% effort and are fighting for millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is a storyline that I think, interestingly, we don't talk about that often. Is like Hard Knocks, you know, never really focuses on something that is very interesting, which is like, I just want some of these players to be asked, so isn't it crazy that if you get cut, if you have a bad month, you get $0, and if you have a good month, you might get like $500,000? And I think that's like somebody winning the TV show Big Brother 500 times a year. Cause like, that's how many fringe NFL, maybe roster players there are, guys who are somewhere between not on a roster and on a practice squad and just making your roster. You know, Tristan Jackson, wide receiver, had a good camp and hung onto the roster all year long last season, which meant $500,000. Good for him. That's awesome. You know, I think that's great. And then this year, you know, there's a lot of competition for that spot. Again, he's going to have a very difficult time, but he could do it again. And it's just that don't we want to know about that internal thought process? Guys are going into this game, and this is one of the things that is valuable about the preseason, because one of the things that I find unlikable about the preseason, I guess, or is just the fact that it doesn't tell us nearly as much as we want to believe that it does. I think coaches are much more invested in how players are doing in practice than they are how they do in a preseason game against other players who are not going to make an NFL roster or may make the back end of an NFL roster. You know, the final three quarters of this game against the Chargers will feature a lot of names that won't participate heavily in the following season. And that's fine. You're working out players who are still very important to the team, whether they, some of them will, you know, will carve out really important roles moving forward. Some of them will be important reserves. Some of them will be important practice players. But I just think coaches are much more focused on how guys show up to work, how they leave work, what they're doing when they're at work, less so than a preseason game. So guys who go into these games with momentum will get opportunities, and then with those opportunities, you know, probably will be able to showcase a little bit of their ability to do something in the regular season. And guys who haven't quite been there for opportunities because, you know, again, there aren't going to be first-string guys holding these guys off of the field. And if you're looking good, we've seen how a J.J. Koski, who obviously is someone I'm going to talk about today, we've seen how a J.J. Koski can go from not in the conversation at all behind maybe eight or nine other receivers to being right there in the middle of it. So, you know, that's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, if Koski did enough in these last 2-3 months, even as the team drafted Tutu Atwell, drafted Ben Skowronek, signed DeSean Jackson, signed a couple of undrafted free agents, and brought back Tristan Jackson, like all the things that the Rams have done, all that didn't stop J.J. Koski from being on the second team when the unofficial depth chart was released, or stop J.J. Koski from getting those second team opportunities and playing with Matthew Stafford in practice. Obviously, something has happened with the way they like the way J.J. Koski has shown up to work in these last 18 months. And I promise you that people care a lot more about whether or not they like working with a guy or a person than they do about what they do on one specific occasion in an exhibition situation, which I got to write that down. That would be, those are some great bars. That would go in a fantastic song about the preseason, which I am working on some preseason rap albums. So stay tuned for that. It'll be on a future episode of Podtest. So anyway, getting back to the bubble players, these are some names that I would say I will focus on in terms of Rams Chargers on Saturday, guys who I think are worth just monitoring moving forward in terms of these position battles and these battles for final roster spots on the Rams, guys who have been mentioned most recently and probably more so than guys who were mentioned, say, at the start of training camp. And there are quite a few of the guys who I think I'm now very interested in seeing. And it's interesting, too, because there will also be, you know, that again, that preseason, that third or fourth quarter, especially that fourth quarter, there's going to be guys playing. And I cover the Rams. And I think I could name, you know, at least 80 of the 90 without looking at a roster. But there's going to be guys that I'm like, oh, wow, how did that one escape me? So, you know, that's what happened in the fourth quarter. But then again, you know, if you do something then, if you get people talking about you after the game in any way possible, it doesn't matter if it's the final play of the game. Tight end Kyle Markway might, you know, be a guy who all of a sudden, oh, they've said Kyle Markway. Like, let's say Kyle Markway catches a touchdown on the final play of the game, and it's a preseason game, so, you know, and the score is like, let's say it's 40-0, right? So let's just say, like, oh, this is a meaningless touchdown in a meaningless game, but if he catches a one-handed touchdown pass and people go, ah, then all of a sudden, you know, or let's say the Rams lost, you know, which I hope you don't get upset about me saying the Rams lose a preseason game. I certainly do not care what the Rams do score-wise. Don't care what any team, it's who cares win or lose a preseason game. Doesn't matter at all. I can't believe that people are reporting practice statistics. People are reporting how many completions and incompletions a quarterback had in practice, which I would not personally do. But anyway, if Kyle Markway gets his name trending after the game, then all of a sudden people are asking Sean McVay about Kyle Markway after practices, and all of a sudden the name Kyle Markway starts going around, and aren't you interested now that, like, before you had not heard of Kyle Markway, and now I've said Kyle Markway 7 times, I think you're going to think about Kyle Markway a little bit in the fourth quarter of this game on Saturday. So that's one of the things that can happen in a preseason game. I think it's much more important what you do when you show up to work every day, and that's what coaches are going to be really looking at. And I think that it's not as easy as you might assume to find players in the NFL who, like, even among very special talents. Like everybody in the NFL has done something special and is a special talent to get that far. It's such an impossible dream, really. But then even then there are guys who just can stand out with their work ethic and their enjoyability to be around these players. You know, someone like Dante Dion going into his sixth year in the NFL, if he's able to, even if he just hangs onto the practice squad again, 6 years in the NFL without ever really making a roster is incredible. You know, it's just clearly a guy who Sean McVay and before that the Giants, clearly a guy that teams like having around in practice, like having around the building, like having in the office. We saw that on Hard Knocks last year. I'm sure the Rams motivated HBO and the NFL to look at Dante Dion even more because they were so aware of how exciting of a player or like a personality he really is. So that's what you can do during training camp and when you're on the roster bubble is just anything you can to prove valuable to the team. It doesn't matter if you are projected to catch 100 passes. It doesn't matter if you need to, it's not about making the Pro Bowl. You know, it's just doing whatever you can to prove valuable to the team in a way that somebody else can't. And you know there's 100 guys standing outside who say they can. So that's what these players will be focused on this Saturday against the Chargers, is making that one play to prove that they are valuable to the team in ways that the other guys are not. And here are just a few names that I would say to look out for. I'm going to start at quarterback because it's the obvious place that everybody starts. I'm just an unoriginal cliche of a podcaster. So quarterback Devlin Hodges, obviously Stafford's not going to play. John Wolford is also not going to play, I believe. So it's going to be Bryce Perkins versus Devlin Hodges. They're not versus. I don't know why I said versus. It kind of is versus, right? I mean, it is competition. But Bryce Perkins and Devlin Hodges. And when I saw what I saw in practice, I think, Bryce Perkins is like kind of just looks like a practice capable quarterback. Nothing necessarily stood out in a good way or a bad way. Just kind of a quarterback like that is out there and certainly seems to be able to move around really well and is athletic. But even his arm, is not bad. It's just nothing necessarily stood out, as opposed to Devlin Hodges, who the throws he makes, I mean, he was very accurate. He was able, he had a sidearm throw. He did a sidewinder. He had a strong arm. He threw deep. Somehow on TV, he comes off looking like a 5'10 type of quarterback. He's 6'1. He's over 200 pounds. He's a bigger guy, and his arm is really good. He's a little bit athletic, and I think that Devlin Hodges is a guy who could absolutely win the backup role. I mean, even last year, the Rams adding Devlin Hodges when they had the opportunity to do so, I think kind of spoke to Sean McVay's adoration of some of the things that he was able to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He started 6 games, surprisingly, as a rookie in 2019 when the team needed to call upon their backup situation because of another Ben Roethlisberger injury. Devlin Hodges in his debut in place of the starter was 7 of 9 for 68 yards against the Baltimore Ravens. And then he made his first career start the next week against the LA Chargers. He went 15 of 20 for 132 yards, a touchdown and interception. It's not a lot of yards for 20 throws or 15 completions, but it's not, but I mean, in the situation that he was in, it's pretty good. And also the Steelers won the game. Didn't play the next 4 games, returned in week 12 against the Cincinnati Bengals and went 5 of 11 for 118 yards and a touchdown. Started the next week against the Cleveland Browns and went 14 of 21 for 212 yards, a touchdown and an interception. And then the Arizona Cardinals, he goes 16 of 19 for 152 yards, 1 touchdown and no interceptions. And up at that point, Devlin Hodges was 4-0 as a starter in the NFL, and increasingly better, it seemed like, in the last couple of starts, at least statistically, which can be very misleading. And the next week against the Buffalo Bills, he went 23 of 38, and he threw 4 interceptions. And that was when everybody jumped off of the Devlin Hodges bandwagon and said, F this guy, no way. Now that he's bad now. We like rooting for a guy when he's an underdog. But we also, more than anything, I think people like crapping on a guy after he does something. I mean, I it's unparalleled what Twitter will do to a quarterback who has a bad game. Doesn't matter who you are. They love to hate on a quarterback having a bad game. They like to, you know, it's the most difficult job in the world for an athlete, I think, to be a quarterback. It's like the hardest job in the world for any athlete to be a quarterback, to have the mental, to have the physical. It's crazy how difficult, you know, to have the confidence, to be a team leader, you know, to be that guy that cannot fuck up at any point. I like how earlier I turned shit into crap because I'm like, oh, I just swear. And now I'm not. I don't care. But, you know, you can't fuck up one time as a quarterback without the whole world of Twitter and social media and the media itself shitting on you for a bad performance, because they just love that opportunity to pile on and to be negative after a poor game and just be like, ha, 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 we're Nelson Muntz. That's what we do. As much as they want to pretend they love rooting for a guy when he's, you know, sort of the underdog. No forgiveness for Devlin Hodges throwing four interceptions against the Bills defense that was ranked second in the NFL. So there you go. Next week against the Jets, he threw two interceptions. I'm not saying that Devlin Hodges is like a, you know, a great quarterback or that he should be even a starter, but what, everything I've seen out of Devlin Hodges in practice, which is not a lot, but what I did see out of him, it's like, oh, this guy is different. This guy's more special. Then you go back and you watch his Steelers highlights. You go, oh, this guy is not some weak armed, smaller guy who didn't know at all what he was doing and somehow, you know, found himself in a rookie of the year situation where he broke his arm and it healed oddly. And when he came back, all of a sudden it was just more powerful than you could have ever imagined. This is a guy that knows how to play quarterback, and then he played quarterback fairly well for a guy that was not expected to get into a game at all 2 years ago. I don't know why the Steelers gave up on him. Now that's a different story, because you would think that a team like the Steelers would think, okay, great, well, Ben Roethlisberger is very old and seems to be mashed together like the leftover parts of you know, strewn about action figures on the floor. But why not hold on to Devlin Hodges and try to develop him, because you did see something so interesting back in 2019. So that's a totally different story. But could Devlin Hodges come in and win the backup job? I mean, what else is he doing out there if not that? What else are we doing here at all if Devlin Hodges can't beat John Wolford and Bryce Perkins to be the backup quarterback? Maybe he will do that. You know, if he's going to go out there and play well against the Chargers on Saturday, which with Brandon Staley and his knowledge of the Rams and his knowledge of defense and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter if they're playing the backups. You would think that the Chargers could bring a pretty good defense to the game on Saturday. And that means that Devlin Hodges, if he does well, then what else are the Rams supposed to be looking for in their backup situation? It's unfortunate that John Wolford, you know, because of an appendectomy, may not be able to compete this week. But, you know, he's also done some things in the NFL that are interesting. So I'm not saying that it would also be easy for the LA to move on from John Wolford. But do you think that John Wolford does have a future as a starter in the NFL? Do you think that Devlin Hodges does? If you needed a guy this year to step in for Matthew Stafford, who would be the best candidate to do that? Well, I think they had to start from scratch almost when they came into the year with Matthew Stafford. They had to start from scratch, forget everything in the past, and just evaluate these two quarterbacks. And right now, Devlin Hodges is getting the opportunity to show what he can do, and he's going to have a lot of chances this Saturday against the Chargers. So I would be paying the most attention to Devlin Hodges. I think he could come away as a story of the game because he is playing that quarterback position. So whether it's for a good reason or a bad reason, I could see Devlin Hodges as the story of the game this Saturday. One of the bigger stories going into the game in that same area would probably be wide receiver J.J. Koski, an undrafted free agent in 2020 out of Division II. J.J. Koski is not someone that we have really discussed at all. Entered the year maybe as like the number 8 or number 9 receiver on the depth chart, at least as far as we knew from the outside looking in, because you would have assumed, you know, that someone like Tristan Jackson would have been ahead of him. You would have assumed that someone like even Simba Webster, before he was released, would have been ahead of him. And then you draft a guy like Ben Skowronek, you would assume maybe he would be ahead of him. just based on the fact that he, you know, was drafted or whatever. And J.J. Koski not getting any preseason games last year, again, as a guy who hasn't played football in 2 years outside of a practice. So J.J. Koski now, all of a sudden, we see he's number two, or at least on the second string on the depth chart, which may still make him the number six receiver, but the Rams could keep six receivers. So J.J. Koski, it would disappear. And when you really look at J.J. Koski closer, because he did make the news this week, when you really look at J.J. Koski closer, you see that he is a player that is doesn't have bad size. I think he's 6'1", doesn't have bad size, made some phenomenal catches in college, may not have been against good competition relative to the NFL, but is a guy who all of a sudden you go like, oh, yeah, well, if the Rams kept six receivers last year, why not six receivers this year, or maybe even seven receivers, depending on where Jacob Harris falls? But it just seems like J.J. Koski now is a guy who not only we see is higher on the depth chart than expected, but because Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, you know, may not play, and DeSean Jackson may not play, is a guy that could be in that first string starting in the first quarter. And well, I don't even know if Van Jefferson's going to play. He was not at practice on Tuesday, and that may not be a big deal. I think, you know, they thought it was going to be a false positive on the COVID-19. As I record this, I don't know what that test result came back as. You can see some Tutu Atwell out there. You can see Ben Skowronek and Jacob Harris maybe playing receiver instead of tight end. I don't know exactly. But J.J. Koski is a guy who should get a lot of opportunities. Maybe the most targeted player in Saturday's game, because after a year and a half of not really getting any opportunities to show what he could do and not getting a preseason last year, maybe Sean McVay wants to give Koski that opportunity to show what he can do in something that resembles game action. Obviously, people are going to be heavily focused on the center position. So, you know, Brian Allen is not at this point a fringe player, but is certainly a guy that people are going to be really focused on in these preseason games to see how his play has improved, and if it has improved in the way and to the degree that Sean McVay has said that it has improved, calling Brian Allen one of the standout players of camp so far this year. And it looks as though, you know, he could be starting at center with Austin Corbett going back and returning to his right guard spot that he was playing last year. Is that bad news for Bobby Evans? Is Bobby Evans in danger of being a bubble player? That's not really an answer that I have right now. It is something that we could find out. And certainly Bobby Evans is a guy that we'll be watching a lot of in the coming weeks. And I think that Chandler Brewer is a guy that I would like to see a lot more of as well. You know, Chandler Brewer, was a guy that they were high on and then opted out. So to get him back and to see where he's at in his progress and whether or not he can make the roster this year or where his place would be on the roster is another thing that I would watch as well. Bryson Hopkins, I don't know exactly what Bryson Hopkins is going to do, how much he's going to play, where he's going to fall in the depth chart. It looks like right now, you know, and I wouldn't expect Tyler Higbee here. So, you know, you got Johnny Munt, Bryson Hopkins, Kendall Blanton, Jacob Harris, Kyle Markway. You know, these are the players who you could expect to see. And, you know, Bryson Hopkins, if he's not getting those opportunities in training camp, why is that? What does he got to do in this preseason game to get more opportunities maybe in training camp? All you got to do is get your name trending after this game somehow, some way, even if it's the last play, you can be Kyle Markway and get your name out there. And if you get your name out there somehow in this game at any point, even if it's the final play, if you somehow get your name out there in this game, then people will be asking McVay about you after the game, after the practices. People will be talking about you. It's some way to keep momentum going on your brand as a football player, which your brand is as important as anything. Again, I don't think Jake Funk necessarily is a roster fringe bubble player, which is really strange to say for a seventh round pick, you know, especially a seventh round pick this year. So I just think that's kind of interesting too. There is a possibility, you know, that this draft and the order of it, because of all the complications that we had going on and the opt-outs of last year and everything, that the order of talent in this draft was completely mixed up. And you know, maybe there's seventh round guys that should have been second round guys. Maybe there were first round guys that should have been fifth round guys. I don't know. But Jake Funk is a guy that feels very solid on this roster right now, so long as his knees hold up. And it'll be Daryl Henderson, you know, not playing this week, but you know it'll be Daryl Henderson. And then Jake Funk could win that number two running back job for all we know. I thought he's looked pretty good in camp. But I really want to also see Otis Anderson. That's the guy that he's going to be a lot, you know, you would think in the third and fourth quarter. I don't know if Raymond Calais has the size to really play running back for more than a few plays or more than a few runs, you know, in a game. I don't know if he's really that guy. And I think that what Darrell Henderson really needs is, you know, a short yardage back and goal line back, a back that runs between the tackles, because that hasn't really been his strength as compared to outside zone runs. Putting Darrell Henderson in space and giving him a way to run that way, everything else hasn't really been in his wheelhouse yet. So Jake Funk and Otis Anderson, guys that I want to see more of this Saturday. Some fringe. I don't think Jake Funk is a fringe guy, but as a seventh rounder, how can you not, you know, how can you not be? Is it just because of injuries? Defensively, you know, some of those fringe guys, Kareem Orr obviously is a guy who stood out in the practice, the joint practice against the Cowboys on Saturday. He's been putting his name out there more and more as training camp goes on. So defensive back Kareem Orr is a guy who could find himself on the 53. And I think you are starting to see him on more 53-man roster projections as of now. Christian Roseboom, the linebacker, undrafted free agent last year. Another guy there in that 2020 undrafted free agent situation like J.J. Koski was, where you enter camp as the lowest on the totem pole. You know, it becomes there are no preseason games. You get virtually no chance to prove that you should deserve a higher spot on the depth chart. And honestly, oftentimes coaches don't actually know who the best players are for certain depth places on the depth chart. That's part of their game. The chess piece, chess puzzle. Is chess a puzzle? That's the question that we've all been asking for centuries. But, you know, that is the game that the coaches are playing. They figure it out. And the reality is, if you're playing with third string guys, it's similar to like trying to judge guys on preseason games versus regular season games. You know, you're not seeing them against the best competition. And at the same time, you can't necessarily just take your guys out who are in the first, you know, line of competition, you know, the first string guys. You can't just start pulling those guys around. There's a lot that, you know, you only have so many plays you can run in a training camp, and it's not as many as you think. And coaches, you know, they would love to have 10 times as many more plays and practices to figure out who's doing what well and where to fit certain guys. So you can't really, there's only so much you can really learn. And if there's a guy on the second or the third string, you know, opportunities, sometimes injuries happen. And then all of a sudden, that's the only way to find out that a guy was actually buried on the depth chart when he shouldn't have been. So those undrafted free agents, especially in 2020, no preseason games, a truncated offseason, virtual offseason, less practices, less hitting, all that kind of stuff. These guys like Christian Roseboom and J.J. Koski were among those, even Kendall Blanton, who was 2 years ago, but were among those guys who hasn't really gotten their fair shake at proving themselves. And we'll see a lot more of those. So Christian Roseboom, not really high up in the linebacker conversation right now. There's about 9 or 10 guys I think we talk about more often than we talk about Christian Roseboom, but he's a guy who in the fourth quarter, I would expect to watch, maybe even in the second quarter. You know, we could be surprised with the order of things here. And I don't think you're going to see some of those key players like Leonard Floyd. So, and maybe not Terrell Lewis, who is a guy who's, you know, falling closer and closer to that bubble without being able to play and practice. It's just, that's what happens. You know, it's very competitive out there, everybody, in case you didn't know. And I think everybody does want to know what David Long will look out there in a first string situation. I don't know how much we'll see any of the LA Chargers first string guys, probably not much. But it's just any amount of reps for a guy like David Long, who's going into his third year but hasn't played a lot of defensive reps, is going to be good. Any amount of reps for Terrell Burgess or Nick Scott or Robert Rochelle and Dante Dion, you know, is going to be important. And of course, Dion is a guy who I'm rooting for. Dion is a guy who I think should make the team. Dion is a guy who I think has deserved and earned his spot on a 53-man roster. And I think that, you know, again, this is the part of that psychological game. Give this guy $1 million. I mean, come on. Why? What else does Dante Dion need to do to get $1 million? He should be making veteran money at this point, making, you know, seven figures for everything he's brought to the NFL over the last 6 years, right? I mean, it probably sounds like Dante Dion is standing behind me right now. doing some sort of gesture to make me say this, but in reality, I feel like Dante Dion has earned a right to make this team. So Dante Dion is a guy who I would like to see a lot more of in this game, and hopefully he has an interception to really make people go, like, how can you keep Dante Dion off of the roster? And that he steps up and gives LA another player that they need and could use in this secondary. Because, again, it's just about proving your value, and I think Dion is one of those guys that proves value, not just in the way that he plays, but also in the way that he prepares and in the way that he works and finding guys that you want to go to work with. So those are some of my fringe roster players who I would pay attention to. Also, maybe from a special team standpoint, you got punter Corey Bohorquez and kicker Austin McGinnis. And we'll see if Tutu Atwell even returns a punt. But there's some other guys that you may get that may get some work that, again, we're going to talk about them. I mean, there's a cornerback named Donovan Alumba. Did you know that? There's a defensive back on the Rams named Donovan Alumba. And you're going to see Donovan Alumba probably. So keep an eye out for Donovan Alumba and many more. Kyle Markway. And that's it for this episode of Pod TST or Pod Tist, if you prefer. Come back next time for an episode that'll be probably shorter than this one.